The Fable and Folly Network supports creators of exceptional audio stories, including the one you're listening to right now. If you love our shows, we want to hear from you. Complete our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey. This will help us learn more about you, what you like, what you'd like to hear more of, and how we can maintain an inclusive, safe atmosphere. As a thank you for your participation, we have extras and behind-the-scenes content from your favorite shows. Fans make the network what it is. Thanks for listening, and we can't wait to hear from you. Find our listener survey at fableandfolly.com/survey today.
Hi, I'm Ryan LaPlante, and I'm one of the crazy founders of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, the podcast production company that's making the podcast you're listening to right now. Now, we're clearly busy. We're producing 5 weekly podcasts and a 6th event podcast, but we want to take this time to invite you to become a part of our company and a part of our Patreon at patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. You can get access to our Discord, access to exclusive DM and character chats. You can get the chance to name characters in our shows and vote on the way their stories will progress. You can even become a recurring NPC and hear yourself interacting with our characters each week through the voice of Tom. You can become a patron for as little as $1, and there's great value for you at even that level. So please, join the Dumb Dumbs and Dice family and help us make even more content in a way that you are guaranteed to love. That's patreon.com/dumbdumbdice. D-U-M-B-D-U-M-B-D-I-C-E. So let's do something dumb together, and thanks for listening.
I am Executron, god of merchandising, and I came into existence because Dumb Dumbs and Dice has its own merchandise. That's a god pun. Get it? Dice? Merchandise? Anyways, you can get t-shirts, hoodies, spiral notebooks, clocks, wall art, throw pillows, bags, and even stickers emblazoned with your favorite Dumb Dumbs and Dice characters and their catchphrases. There are plenty of different designs available, so there is guaranteed to be something you love. To show your love of Dumb Dumbs and Dice, go to redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. That's D-U-M-B. D-U-M-B. D-I-C-E. One more time for the mortals in the back. Redbubble.com/people/dumbdumbdice. Get your merchandise today. All art supplied by the brilliant Decapitated Markers.
Welcome back to Dumb Scum and Villainy, a Dumb Dumbs and Dice podcast where professional voiceover artists and improvisers explore the underworld of this Star Wars Edge of the Empire role-playing game. I'm your host, Blotto the Toydarian. This series features our Game Master Tom McGee, Ryan LaPlante as Abraxas Brash Kor, Tyler Hewitt as Vic Denbar, Guy Bradford as Engage 311, and Adam McNamara as the forgetful psychopath Waka Waka Fonzi. A rescue is underway because Engage botched a bank heist and got kidnapped. Waka blew up the bank with grenades as a distraction. Vic got jealous of his relative Rick, and Brash discovered the medical bay and tricked Waka into thinking his tannery had been in a different room all along. Now Waka and Vic are determined to save Engage, while Brash isn't aware of the problem. There, you're caught up, so get out of my shop or spend money. No credits, only money.
It wasn't that long ago, Waka, that you kind of got your dad back, and now, due to a flurry of grenades and possibly just some shady banking practices, he's gone again. So you've just watched Vic stride purposefully into the flames, and then probably stumble out the other side because this
coughing and like just smoke inhalation.
Yeah, it looks real cool until you do it. Yeah. So the building is clearly going up, and in the distance you can actually see a very fancy ship kind of take off and take flight, kind of like rockets up, starts to take off of sort of a private runway a little ways away from you.
Does my scanner have a way to like track Engage, like in my helmet? Like maybe he has like an energy signature.
Yeah, I'd say sure. Well, we'll play it that you have to be within decently close range. Like if they go to hyperspace, there's no.
Can I see it from where I am?
Yeah, you can see the ship. Like he's on the ship that's taking off.
Okay, so I just start like.
I will say it is too far to reach. Like it's not like a few 100 meters away. Like, it's
far away.
Yeah.
Okay. And I go, I'm coming, Dad. And I start shooting my fork gun at it.
Okay. So yeah, you take some pot shots. You might like manage to almost wing it, but, no, the ship is, does some fancy flying, the kind that Vic would do if he were flying.
Obviously.
Yeah, it's definitely getting away, with your buddy and your money.
Okay. Here's the plan. He's kind of like my dad, but a bad dad, because he tried to he hired an assassin to kill me, but we got over that hump. You were there. You know the backstory.
Yeah, we need to go.
Yeah. So he was kind of like a dad.
You're both like running back towards the ship.
Yes. Yes. So we're running back. Okay. So just hear me out. So he was kind of like a dad to me, and your dad is kidnapped. So I say we become each other's dad just for this mission. And save my dad, and then save your dad and mom.
Sounds great. Sounds good.
All right, Dad.
You got it, son? Dad? I can't.
I'm your dad too. We're both dads.
We're not each other's sons.
We're each other's dad.
Okay.
Meanwhile, back aboard the ship, with the medical aid, Nyx is looking much, much better. Like, just immediately, this is like great, and he's actually able to kind of get up and hobble around a bit. And you can kind of hear commotion in the distance. But Rash, you also hear that sort of voice in your head again, just being like, your last attachment to this world is gone. Should not you now rise?
Nyx, can you hear that?
Nyx is like, I'm on truly tremendous cocktail of active fluids right now, so I'm hearing a lot of things. Have you ever thought about what the Cantina song would sound like if Fallout Boy sang it?
Do you know what? I think you're going to do better on your own.
And then I leave him with the droid. I leave him with the droid, and I'm like, am I hearing the voice in the hallway when I go out?
You can kind of, it's...
Or do I just kind of know where
you know,
it's from?
Yeah, you're getting the feels. I believe you left it in the cockpit.
Yeah, it's in the cockpit, yeah. All right, so I'll go back to the cockpit, and I want to take the box out and just, like, put it on the counter, just kind of, like, look at it while I sit in a chair, because I'm troubled by it.
As you're staring at it, you see a trucker in a space truck across from you start to lower a shotgun at the cockpit.
Like he's aiming it at me?
Yep.
Oh, this guy's such a dick.
his hat is, like, still resting on it. It's like an Elmer Fudd hat.
Can I bring the shields up?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll do that then.
Okay, so the shields come up, the shotgun blasts off the shields, and he just kind of nods at you almost approvingly and just like puts the gun and hat back up.
Yeah, and then I just like reach down and close the side door with a command, and I give him a little salute.
He gives you a thumbs up and then takes off.
And then I look back to the box. It's just like back to seriousness, and I'm confused about two major things. And one of them is this box, because it's talking to me, and I've, like, stuck my hand out and caught shit, which is weird, because I know I'm... Brash is very confident he doesn't have magnets in himself, like, yeah. He's aware of what N-Gage has versus walker. Him.
Yeah, I have the magnets, yeah.
So he's just... He doesn't... And then I think he's just going to, like, raise his hands to, like, chest height and just focus on the box.
The three latches pop.
Okay, not what I was aiming for, but Brash has poor impulse control for himself. I would like to just gently open the lid.
Marcellus Wallace's soul.
I was going to say, yeah, I just picture like flat light coming out to me as I open it.
It's, I mean, you remember kind of dumping it in there. It really is like this would normally just be something you'd carry, you know, credits or something important in. So it's the case itself is pretty unimpressive, but sitting in the bottom of it is a small cylinder with sort of a, it actually looks pretty innocuous. It's not particularly ornate. And it's about the size of your palm. So fairly small. But you can see there's kind of a switch on the side that I guess you wouldn't really know lightsabers. I forget. You guys didn't ignite this thing earlier. You did ignite it.
Yeah, we ignited it.
So you know that the switch will ignite the blade.
Okay. And I feel like this is one of those sort of like horror movie moments where like he can't see, you know, he's looking at it from lower and then it pops open and he looks at it. And I feel like he just would be like drawn to reach out towards it, slowly. But
yeah. And you just hear the voice be like, good, good or bad. I mean, if that's going to make you hesitate, but otherwise good. Think of the power.
Yeah, it's starting to make me hesitate.
and while you're hesitating, that you hear rapid pounding on the outside door.
Okay, I'm gonna slam it shut and jam it back under the seat. Okay. I gotta pretend that this didn't happen.
Sure.
And then,
hey, what? Ow.
And then I look around and I know, and I like flip open a small cupboard or whatever, whatever the glove box is. I flip over the glove box. There's like a book in it or something. So I take it out and I just flip it over and I sit down and pretend to read as though like I'm just looking nonchalant. It looks like a model doing a photo shoot with a book in the cockpit. I've got like one leg up on the instruments and the other down, and it looks very posed. It probably doesn't look nonchalant, but he's trying.
You guys bust in and you see Brash just kind of lounging, reading on the hyperspace lane by Jack Kerouac. And like, fucking of course he is. he seems to be very engrossed in it despite the fact the book is upside down.
Did we see the guy shoot at the cockpit?
I think as you came up, yeah.
So we just saw some dude just shoot at
some, them. I mean, Engage did warn you about space truckers.
Okay.
And that space truck has now taken off.
Oh, so I wasn't able to catch him.
I mean, you can take a shot at it as it leaves.
If I see him trying to shoot at the ship, I want to try to shoot him. If I'm close to him, I want to physically attack him.
So go ahead and roll me a ranged heavy and agility, please.
Okay, agility is 2, and... Oh, I see over here.
Heavy is 2.
Oh, range heavy is 2. Yeah,
he gets 2 yellows.
Well, give me those 2 yellows. Oh,
and Adam, I'm going to give you 1 blue for bracing.
Oh, sweet. Oh, yeah. I see him. Complete, full stop and a dime. Aim.
Yep. Gotcha.
Yeah.
Just like you learned from Officer Brace.
Officer, yes, Colonel Brace. Thank you.
Custodian Brace, really.
He didn't change his legal name to Colonel to be called Sir.
His name is Janitor Colonel Brace.
Yes. Can you add 3 purple, please? And turn one of them to a red. I'm going to use a destiny point because Space Trucker's got other adventures to see to today.
Oh, but now we have a destiny point.
You do.
You mean you do?
Yeah, right. Right.
I don't know. Maybe Dibs will get lucky this time.
I'm going to use him right now. All right. Ooh, that's much, but pretty good. So I have...
I've already read it.
Okay, what do I have?
You go ahead, Adam.
Oh, no. You
go on the journey. Do the map, Adam. It's fun.
All right, we got here. Let me line these pictures up. Okay, those two cancel each other out.
Mm-hmm.
Those two cancel each other out.
Yes.
So just I have 0.
You go to shoot the space truck, and it has its shields up, similar to... what Brash did, but you see a different space trucker who's next to you kind of rolled down his window. He's like, "That was a nice shot. Sorry it didn't work out for you."
Thank you.
I see you've been space trucking before.
Played
a little shootsy shieldsies?
Yeah, hey, we're a couple dads here. We gotta go get my dad.
Okay,
so,
well, go save your dad. And then he like tips his hat and a gun falls out and he's like, "Oh shit." And he puts it back under his hat and then takes off.
I mean, I'm a weird guy, but that was pretty weird. let's go, dads.
So, Team Dad, you book it up into the ship and find Brash reading.
Oh, good, you're already here. We got to chart a course for that ship. Can you see it? It's the best looking ship in the sky. It's a ship that I would want. Which is so fucking like him.
And Engage just downloaded all the money, and then he got stolen by a Vic.
Okay, I've got to just. I put the book down, and I'm like, so someone took N-Gage, which I'm sort of neutral on. What happened with the money?
No, we go now! And I, like, grab your hand and, like, put it on the accelerator, and I push us
and
to go.
And we fly into the bank. Yeah, that's how this works.
The ship shoots straight forward, just, like, skimming across the ground. You smash through the bank, like, a couple of people in stretchers who, like, would have been fine or no longer fine. and you just start carving kind of a path of destruction. You knock over the orb of Palpatots, that you notice is suspiciously empty. And you start just kind of like tearing Blues Brothers style through this mall, but you're a spaceship and it's not. so you kind of tear through Vic, in your head you hear,
"Yes, they cannot stand in your way. You are the true renegade."
Exactly. Thank you.
And then Brash, I think you're able to finally pull up.
Yeah.
Incinerating the back end of the mall even further. But yes, you take off after Rick's ship. So you sort of take off into orbit, and you can actually hear kind of like an alert chime as it seems kind of like local security forces from the Dunbar cluster are now like converging on you, given that it looks like you guys just blew up this mall. So you have four incoming small fighter. And you hear kind of over the mic like, "Hi there, you kind of blew up our mall. That's really not cool. We're going to need you to shut down your weapons and prepare to be boarded."
Don't listen to them.
No, you need to listen to us. We're okay, the police.
I turn the radio off this time.
Oh, so. Hey, no.
So, I mean, I'll just turn down the volume on the mic.
I hope they can still hear us, but they don't seem to
hear us. I'll mute the mic. Can we do video as well? Or is it just...
You can do shitty Star Wars hologram video.
Great. I'm going to stoop down, run my finger through the oil piss that...
just take it off of Brash's jacket.
Sure, yeah. I'm just going to run a streak across my lips.
Yay!
And flip on the hologram and be like, "This is Rick Dunbar."
Mr. Dunbar.
Of the Dunbar cluster. Oh. And I want you guys to, leave me alone. This is my cluster. I'm acting like a jerk, which is probably how I normally act. But, you know, and I just like...
Can you go ahead and roll me a deception check? But Mr. Dunbar, you just called us and told us to stop any ships that were chasing you. So go ahead and take a red for that, given that they have already been contacted by Rick. That doesn't mean they don't necessarily believe you. They're just very confused.
Okay.
And I'm going to give you one blue for the mustache. Yeah, so you can take one blue just for literally being this guy. This isn't a hard thing. And then sorry to give you one red.
Yeah.
Two purple on top of that, please.
Ooh, we haven't seen this bad boy before. This is a despair.
Oh, no.
But I have a lot of successes, too. Does despair count as two fails when we're measuring successes and failures, or is it something else?
I believe so. Let me just double check that.
Okay, ooh, there we go.
So it only counts as... or no, I guess it does count. It's a very confusing list. But yes, basically, we'll say it counts as two failures.
Okay, so that still brings my net to one success and one advantage.
Damn. They seem a little suspicious at first, but then they kind of nod and say, "Okay, Mr. Dunbar, what do you want us to do about the escaping vehicle then?"
You mean the one that I'm following?
Yeah.
Go get him. Go pursue and detain.
All right, boys, you heard the man. Lock and load.
But I want him alive.
No promises, sir.
What?
you remember when you hired us? You said, "Hey, I'm Rick Dunbar, and it doesn't matter if you take them alive or dead, because I'm the best, and the best don't rest."
Do you remember what I said the day after I hired you, which was, take people alive if you can?
If we can.
Do you remember when I said that?
All four of them open fire. Waka, what are you doing during this?
As he's smearing the mustache on his face, it's like, "I'll cause a diversion." And so then I run down to the guns and I start like plugging myself in and like charging everything up.
Okay. And Vic, or sorry, fuck, do this every time. Brash.
Well, I don't really know what the hell's going on because I've missed most of the combat. From what I've learned, it seems like they've got a plan and it's working, I'm assuming. So Brash is like, "I guess they sorted it out down below." So he'll activate the weapon system for Waka. And then he's just sort of ready to bug out. Like, he's not really sure what's going on. So I think he'll chart a course quietly out of system.
Okay, cool. So Tyler, here's, I think, what you see through the viewport. It seems like the four sort of rent-a-cops are opening fire on the escaping craft. They're trying to disable it, but you can tell they're bad shots. This is like four stormtroopers trying to, like, disable a vehicle.
Sure.
So you can tell it's getting a bit hot, and you're not sure whether they're going to, like, bring this thing to a stop or vaporize it.
Okay. I guess we need Waka's dad. I'm still confused about that. Waka's dad is on that ship, Brash, and so Waka's dad is N-Gage. There, he's
wait. He thinks the droid is his dad.
Yes.
Why am I giving him a gun?
I mean, try and take it from him.
I can. I turn it off. There's a control right here. But,
oh, the ship guns. Well, yeah. I mean, he'll just come down here and shoot you with regular guns. what I'm saying is N-Gage has 50 million credits.
And now I'm interested.
Sterling and slides into the cockpit. 50 mil?
Rick Dumbar.
Oh, sick burn.
Yes, wait, thank you.
Is that who you were pretending to be?
Yeah. I look like an idiot, so obviously that's who I was pretending to be.
So you're telling me I need to get a version of you to surrender?
I mean, he's hardly a version of me.
Okay, just a second. And I flip on my like personal one, and I'm like, this is a call for Rick Dunbar. Rick Dunbar.
I'm sorry. I only answer to the name Renegade.
No, I only answer to the name Renegade.
Shush, shush.
Sorry, there was something dumb in my ear.
So, I understand you've got a droid in 50 million credits, and I understand that you're the best gambler in the universe.
You're goddamn right.
What are you doing? What are you doing?
If you pull over right now, we have someone with us who claims he's the best, so what do you say to a game of space poker for the droid and the credits? If you're so good, it's practically like we're giving them to you.
If you turn us down, these space cops are going to blow you out of space.
They couldn't hit the large side of a space barn, I don't think, maybe.
No, but ask N-Gage about Waka Waka Fonzie's abilities, because I can't convince him to turn off the guns.
What's a Waka Waka? No, you know what I know what a Waka Waka Fonzie is? I could beat that guy. Could beat that guy in a gunfight.
So what you're saying is you have to fight it out because you're a worse gambler?
No, what I'm saying is follow me for gambling. and he puts on a turn signal and starts to guide you down towards a different planet on the edge of the cluster.
Hello, everyone. This is Tyler Hewitt, just coming at you with a little special offer for you. You know, if you're a fan of what we're doing here on the show, then we have, to borrow a phrase from Jerry Holkins, a patron-oriented experience tailored just for you. If you go to
patreon.com/dumdumdice,
you can sign up and get a bunch of special features that we're not really going to make available to anyone else, so do that now. Well, not right now, but, you know.
Call off your attack dogs. It's time for you to show your worth, Vic. Right.
I double down on the literal grease paint across my lip, so I've got an even bigger mustache now. I'm like, this is Rick Dunbar, and I'm super serious. Leave that ship alone now.
Oh, sir, you calm your stash. We're okay. We'll stop firing.
All right, good. I'm Rick Dunbar. I just keep saying it.
It's more suspicious every time you say it, sir.
Well, would Rick Dunbar say it a third time? Because I'm Rick Dunbar.
And then I cut the feed. I'm just going to end it there for him.
Great. So you begin to follow the ship down.
See, Walker, are you doing anything with your live gun?
I've got them. I've just got it trained on the ship.
Yep. And you're still getting the pings from N-Gage.
Yeah.
Waka, what is, now that you've got like some restored memory, what is your first memory of N-Gage? Is it just meeting him here, or do you have like an earlier memory?
I have a memory of kind of like approaching him. It's kind of like, you know, the Captain America super soldier serum story.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just this like lanky dude, and I'm answering like an ad in the local paper, just being like, "Do you hate flesh things? Do you want super muscle? Come to this address." And I'm just like, "Yeah, that sounds great. Whatever." And then I kind of go in and go through the
strap on your Mandalorian armor that doesn't fit because you're like a little weasel.
That's provided to me, like that armor.
But you shot the guy for it.
Oh, this is before that.
Oh,
like I shot him after the super soldier thing.
Oh.
Because then like I got these powers and I was like
right
doing his bidding.
Gotcha.
This is me like going into the house and like he just lives in a shack. Yeah. And then like this place looks dumb. Like this better work.
Great. Okay. So mixed feelings, mixed memories.
But, yeah.
Okay. So, Vic, you are preparing for another game of Space Broker.
Washing my face.
Oh yeah. Going in as Vic, not Rick.
That's right.
Damn. All right. You kind of, pull into orbit. As you land, it's kind of a jungle planet. And, there's, an area that's, like you kind of fly down through the trees a bit, and you're kind of led into almost like a secret clearing. Think kind of like where a lot of drug runners land, like small aircraft in the middle of the jungle. You get out, and it's a village that seems to have been kind of made of sort of like cargo containers and various other things, but it's actually pretty lively. And Brash, you immediately recognize this as your kind of place. Like it's clearly just like a bunch of people definitely on the wrong side of the law, just kind of making a run of things. So you see a massive sign, that's kind of like, carved out of bamboo, that, has a giant sort of like Fallout style metal, looks like a TIE fighter wing kind of like nailed to it. And it says, welcome to Coruscant.
I like a dive with a sense of humor.
All right, so we'll go in, win the game, find a Rick, maybe kill some people. Any problems?
I'm good. Let's go. And I kind of like lock and load my fork gun, even though I don't think it can do that.
You just move your hands and go.
Yeah, I go. Yeah.
I adjust my hat and go. My big zoot suit hat.
Brash, what do you do?
I just sigh and gesture towards it with the two of them.
So you step down, off the, down, but not out. And, you're in what kind of like, it's think kind of like cars parked on the side of like a lawn. Like there's no real spaceport here to speak of. But immediately like, a Jawa with like rolled up sleeves and then had like tinier sleeves underneath, comes out, with a droid, is kind of like, and the droid is like, yeah. So, little Pete here wants to know if you need anything done with your vehicle.
No, I need you to not touch it. There are some Zabrak inside with large weapons, and I wouldn't want there to be any mistakes where, say, a Jawa was hurt or something like that just for approaching.
Yo, that's awesome, man. You know a Zabrak? We got a guy like that. You ever heard of him? He's a famous chef.
Have I heard of him, Tom?
Fuck no.
Oh, and what's his name?
Oh, his name's Gungan Ramsay. He's great. You should see him. He's over at... you should check him out. He's over at Grand Sauce Tarkin.
Is that where...
Wow.
Is that where... say I was the fanciest, most confident man who had a desperate amount to prove as though I had an incredibly small penis. Is that where I would go if I were that kind of
man? I mean, it's the only place to get shit-faced and get a meal around here, so yeah, probably.
Excellent. I'd like to thank you for your service.
I mean, it's either that or you could go chuck out the bottle con for, you know, some robotic fisticuffs, and he does, like, some whoosh, and then, like, an uppercut.
Some real steel moves.
That's right, yeah.
And is there anywhere that we could go for perhaps a little game of chance?
Oh, yeah, no, that's yeah, you could go check out the back room at the 501st, home of Vader's Fist. It's the local brothel.
Well, sounds
just,
like...
just ask Commandant Turnbull, tell him you want the special, not dirty special.
I'm just going to make a note of that in my mind. Special, not dirty.
Yeah, that's cool. Yo, Lil Pete, you okay with me giving these folks all this exposition? Yeah, all right. He says it's cool. Also, he says you're real handsome. And Lil Pete, like, kind of like... would suggestively raise an eyebrow, but being a Jawa instead just like suggestively nods his head back and forth a bit.
Great. And I want to lean down to his level and just say, thank you for your assistance. It's absolutely appreciated. And just kiss him on the cheek.
He mutters something and the robot's like, whoa, I am not repeating that.
And I just say, appreciated. And then I sashay away. There's just a lot more hips than there were before. Though I'm dressed now sort of like Neo in the Matrix. Because everything is black,
it's super
but I'm green.
Hot. So like, I think the oil is starting to like drip.
I'm hoping it'll soak in. I got to commit.
All right. Waka, looking around, you can see everyone's packing heat on this planet. That's pretty clear. And you see a bunch of other sort of mercenary types. They're honestly, they're like, they remind you a little bit of Kano and various people like that. But also similar to fruit stands, you can see a bunch of people selling kind of black market weapons, one of whom has a basket of grenades.
Ooh, I'll be like,
they all look a little dirty. They might not be first run grenades.
Okay. So I'll be like, okay. All right. Dad. So I'm going to meet you at the gambling house. I just need to make a quick little stop over to this little weapon shop.
Sounds good. Dad. And I will see you there, and I'm just going to like march off in a random direction. And then just kind of stop and like, oh, it's over this way, and like go over to the 501st.
Okay, cool. Waka, you show up at the the produce stand.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say? What do you do?
300 grenades, please.
The human woman. There's a human woman with just one arm behind the counter. She's like, "No, honey, I'm not going to sell you 300 grenades." How many grenades do you actually need? 300's too much for any job.
No, look, long story short, I really need 300 grenades. And you got a big basket here, so you probably have a lot more than 300.
No, I have these 12.
Wait, 12?
Yeah, there's only 12. I don't have any more in the back. This is my whole stock for the day. But listen, if you need 300 grenades, that's going to cost you a lot of money.
How much money do you need?
Well, hang on. Let me look at my DM chart. There's no easy answers in this game.
I'll have wandered, because I will have wandered forward assuming everyone's with me, and then no one's with me, and then I look back, and Vic goes past me, and Walk is now at a stall, and I do not want to go in with Vic with no muscle, because that's a terrible idea on a planet where everyone's armed, and I have a newfound sense of mortality, so I sort of need to befriend Waka. So I'm going to have slowly walked over and just kind of like gently rest an arm on around Waka's shoulders and say, "What are we looking for at this stall, my friend?"
300 grenades, but they only have 12.
Well, it sounds like we might have to do a little negotiating, but do you know what I know? Between you and me, buddy, and I tap that little star on your helmet gently.
What?
We can do anything.
Okay. So, you know what? How about you be my dad, too? So we'll be the three dads.
The three dadketeers.
The three dadketeers. Maybe we can name the ship that.
Maybe. You know what, son? I think we're going to get through this together.
No, wait. I'm also a dad. That's how it works. I'm your dad. You're my dad. Vic is your dad. But Vic is also my dad, and I'm Vic's dad. We're the dads.
Well, the sexual implications are horrifying, but you know what? Let's give it a try. I've said and done weirder things. So this dad and I both really want these grenades.
Yeah, well, you're looking for some kind of like dadly discount?
Okay. If it's available.
All right. Well, look, I only have the 12 right now, but I can probably get you some more. I can let these go. You need 300 grenades. That's 75 credits per grenade, so that's a total of 22,500 credits.
All right, so for 12, it's less. Let me just have a moment to talk with my friend here. And I just, like, pull Waka in a little bit, like, a foot away from there, and I'm like, I have 10 credits. How are you doing?
I'm not really sure what a credit is.
Okay, so we have 10 credits. They need 23,000 credits for 300 grenades. We don't have that. What could we offer them instead in terms of a barter? What are you good at?
I could kill them.
Okay, that's a good option, but maybe we see if they want us to kill someone for them.
Oh, okay.
Then, because right now only 12 grenades, right?
Right.
But you want 300, so we need them to go get more grenades. So we need them to not die, and someone else can die. Excuse me, miss, this may be a bit forward, but is there anyone you'd like us to, say, kill that you think would be worth 23,000 credits?
Wow, that is a bold question, is it not, sir?
Well, I believe in the free market economy and that up-and-comers need all the advantages they can against those evil corporations.
Well, the good news is you come to a small enclave of Imperial deserters, the answer is always going to be yes. Listen, I used to serve in the Stormtrooper Corps, and my commander was a real asshole. He's stationed a couple systems away. Now, I've got a whole network. My people are pretty good at making deliveries. I'm running a space delivery service called Uber. that's Y-O-U-B-U-R-R. There's two apostrophes, but I'll let you guess where they go. In any case, my Uber drivers can easily drop off these grenades to you as long as you can take out the commander.
All right, and what is this commander's name?
His name is Agen Zadie.
Is Agen Zadie here right now?
No, he's a few systems away. You will not get these grenades today unless you have the money.
Well, what if I kill somebody that's here and then...
Well, I don't want anyone dead here. I like all my friends here on Coruscant.
Well, Walk, it seems like we found a nice interim.
And I just, like, turning back to him from her, it's almost a dance-like flourish. Like, he's finally starting to feel in his element, Brashes, because he's like, oh, this is negotiation. And then he realizes he sort of hates it because it is just his corporate training of being able to negotiate in a business world. But he's like, no, I'm going to start my own business. Fine. So
now, what did we see from these improvisers? Teamwork. And what can you do in your team? Teamwork.
It's like, play to their strengths. Everyone has a weakness. All right, so, Waka, we have to kill Agen Zadie, and then we get all 300 grenades for no cost. Now, we can't do that today, but Vic might be able to help us kill him. Remember, you want to surprise him with that secret plan.
Oh, wait, didn't I tell you what the secret plan was?
Well, you've met Vic. He doesn't have the greatest memory. So, what if we go, because he's probably, to quote a Coruscant-y phrase, fucked this up. Why don't we go and make sure that he doesn't die, and then we can save the fourth dad?
Yes. Yeah, okay.
The fourth dad, and then we'll go get your grenades and murder this Agen Zadie guy, and they'll drop them off wherever we are.
And I was kind of holding, like, my big axe, and so I'm kind of, like, sadly just, like, thumbing the blade, being like, okay. Like,
don't worry, I'm pretty sure we'll have to kill a lot of people before we leave.
All right.
Hey there, little fella. I don't want you to walk away feeling disappointed. And then she, like, tosses you a grenade like an apple. She's like, that one's just a flashbang, but, you know, you have fun with it, okay?
Okay, thank you. I put it in my pouch.
So you go to chase after Vic. Vic, you were storming your way towards the 501st. You hear a voice, I kind of go, Itanabugi! And as you look over, there's like the smallest hut you've ever seen, just kind of like waving to you from a fairly impressive storefront. And it almost looks like it's made of kind of various... you know, like the TIE Fighter glass. So it's like the sort of front is two TIE Fighter facades. So like very fancy glass. There's a kind of like a very stout, not quite a Gronk droid, but in that ballpark. Think like a walking couch under this small hut. Its sort of voice coder says, "The great pizza invites you to his museum."
Hi, you talking to me?
Yes, you are the fanciest man we have seen in some time. Perhaps you would like to see the fancy things that Pizza the Hut has accumulated.
Maybe Rick hasn't gone this way yet. Sorry, I would love to normally, but I'm on kind of like a vengeance warpath thing right now.
Itanadugaha!
Yes, the great pizza understands the ways of vengeance.
Perfect, great, yeah. I'm going to go gamble and basically just take the shirt off of this jerk's back, everything he owns, and then I will come back and happily check out your museum.
Yes, you can buy great things here with the shirts you win off people's backs.
Great, fantastic.
Our prices are insane. And the droid just like awkwardly shuffles around in a circle as the hut throws his arms out. And as he's doing it, you walk away.
Yeah.
Like eventually you turn back around and you hear, "No, sir, he has been gone for a while."
The hearts are alive. Tambogatika.
Which translates to the sounds of pizza. Having passed by the museum, or the gallery rather, you arrive at the 501st, and it's got A couple of very suggestively posed stormtrooper outfits outside. There seems to be like a weird, like almost like crude painted sketch of Darth Vader, which is kind of funny to you because like space wizards, come
on. Yeah.
You can see there's kind of like a dark cape hanging over the door.
I brush it aside and head in.
You dramatically stride inside and you find kind of a large red lit space that has, for lack of a better term, in all of Imperial architecture in Star Wars, there's just like a bunch of inexplicable like black kind of like not quite ovals, but just there's just like a lot of geometric patterns. It's just that. So it kind of looks like the inside of the Death Star, but okay. Everything's been painted. So it's not made of metal. And you can see there's kind of like a number of sort of a variety of people of different walks of life and different alien species kind of walking around plying their trade. And as soon as you walk in, a man comes over wearing a very, very almost like a costume version of an Imperial officer's outfit. And he kind of snaps a small riding crop to his leg and says, "Oh, hello, yes, very good. Welcome to the 501st, home of Vader's Fist. I am Commodore Turnbull. What do you require?"
"Great, you're just the guy I'm looking for. I'm looking for the special non-special."
"The special non-special?"
"Yes, the secret gambling room."
"Ah, a man of distinction. But it is strange. I feel like I'm getting deja vu. Did I not just see you moments ago, sir?"
"No, you absolutely..."
"In perhaps a fancier zooch suit than you now wear."
"Excuse me, take me to him."
"Take me to him."
And he like gets a glint in his eye and he's like, "I don't know what this is, but it seems kinky." Follow me.
Do you still have the mustache on?
No, I washed my face.
Okay.
So he turns, kind of like sticks the riding crop under his arm and begins guiding you back. I'm going to say Waka Waka and Brash, you arrive like just in time to fall into lockstep, like Final Fantasy party follow style. Commandant Turnbull leads you back through the brothel. Kind of like reaches like clearly a big fake wall and taps on it three times with the riding crop. You kind of hear a hop, 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 and two guys in kind of like Chippendale outfits, so just like super ripped, like tiny, tiny little male G-strings, banana hammock style, wearing stormtrooper helmets, and just kind of like hoist the door out of the way, and then kind of like lead you in. And sure enough, there is a massive table set up, and sitting on the far end of it, smiling up at you with a truly glorious handlebar mustache, is that son of a bitch, Rick Dunbar.
This episode of Dumb Scum and Villainy features the voices of Ryan LaPlante at The Ryan LaPlante on Twitter, Tyler Hewitt at Tyler_Hewitt on Twitter, Adam McNamara at AdamMcNamara13 on Twitter, Guy Bradford at Guy Bradford on Twitter, and our fantastic game master, Tom McGee at McGeeTD on Twitter. This episode was edited by Ryan LaPlante, and all of Dumb Dumbs and Dice's art is by Decapitated Markers at Decapitated Marker on Twitter. That's MRKR. Our theme song is In Orbit by Kronox, and our ad music is No Control and Chiefs by Jazzar, J-A-H-Z-Z-A-R, all available at freemusicarchive.org. When it comes to Dum Dums and Dice, you can visit our website at dumdumdice.com. Our Twitter and Instagram are at dumdumdice, and on Facebook at facebook.com/dumdumdice. But most importantly, we've got merchandise at redbubble.com/people/dumdumdice, or you can join our Patreon at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Dice. That's DUMBDUMBDICE. Now get out of my shop. I'm a Toydarian. Your Jedi mind tricks do not work on me.
Dumb Dumbs and Dice has to give a special thank you to the supreme beings of our Patreon at this time. Christian Menicola, Long Long, The Half-Blind Prophet, James Cuellar, DM Rob, Christopher Little, Joshua White, Olin Anderson, Sue One, and Jill and Noel LaPlante. If you want your name to be added to this list, you can join our Patreon too at patreon.com/dumdumdice. Thanks to them, and a little bit of thanks to you.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.